You've got it locked to VOA 1, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Coming up on the program, Katie Weaver speaks about the late U.S. Secretary of State, Henry Kissinger. Andrew Smith and Anna Mateo report on young Chinese moving to a city in southwestern China in hopes of a freer life. Gregory Stockel has a story on a South Korean city turning to matchmaking. Later, John Russell presents this week's Everyday Grammar lesson on giving gifts. But first,
American former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger died Wednesday at his home in Connecticut. He was 100 years old. Kissinger was famed for helping restore ties between the United States and China and negotiating the U.S. withdrawal from Vietnam. The German-born Jewish refugee served as National Security Advisor and Secretary of State under two presidents, Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford. During the 1970s, Kissinger led U.S. diplomacy and was involved in many world-changing events. He led the first shuttle diplomacy to improve ties between Israel and its Arab neighbors. He started secret talks that led to the recognition of communist China and its return to the world community. His policy of détente led to arms control agreements with the former Soviet Union. He negotiated the 1973 Paris Peace Accord to get the U.S. out of the conflict in Vietnam. The effort won him a Nobel Peace Prize. Vietnamese communist forces won control of the country 2 years later. On Thursday, many world leaders praised Kissinger for his life's work. However, others sharply criticized the former diplomat for damaging the world in the process. And on social media, many posts described him as a war criminal. Former U.S. President George W. Bush said, "America has lost one of the most dependable and distinctive voices on foreign relations." French President Emmanuel Macron also praised Kissinger in a post on the social media site X, formerly Twitter. He wrote, "Henry Kissinger was a giant of history. His century of ideas and of diplomacy had a lasting influence on his time and on our world." China's state broadcaster CCTV said that President Xi Jinping sent U.S. President Joe Biden a message of sympathy Thursday. It said, "Dr. Kissinger will always be remembered and missed by the Chinese people." China's foreign ministry spokesperson called Kissinger an old friend and good friend of the Chinese people and a pioneer and builder of China-U.S. relations. Russian President Vladimir Putin said in a message to Kissinger's wife that his foreign policy led to the most important Soviet-American agreements in strengthening world security. In a message to Kissinger's family, Germany's President Frank-Walter Steinmeier wrote, "With his détente and disarmament policy, Henry Kissinger laid the foundation for the end of the Cold War and the democratic transition in Eastern Europe, which led to Germany's reunification. Israeli President Isaac Herzog told U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Tel Aviv that Kissinger laid the cornerstone of the peace agreement, which was later signed with Egypt, and so many other processes around the world I admire. However, criticism of Kissinger was especially strong for his actions during the war in Vietnam. The policy of Vietnamization was meant to shift the fighting against North Vietnam from U.S. forces to the South Vietnamese. It included a massive bombing campaign of North Vietnam and the mining of northern ports. The U.S. also bombed in Cambodia and Laos in 1969, although Kissinger kept that secret. The attacks in those countries intensified the civil war in Vietnam. Kissinger also was criticized for his part in Angola's civil war, Pakistan's aggression toward Bangladesh, and the U.S. involvement in Chile, which ended with a government overthrow in 1973. Sopal Ir is a Cambodia expert at Arizona State University. He wrote in the online publication The Conversation, "Henry Kissinger's bombing campaign likely killed hundreds of thousands of Cambodians and set a path for the ravages of the Khmer Rouge." Reporting the diplomat's death, the magazine Rolling Stone published this headline: "Henry Kissinger, war criminal beloved by America's ruling class, finally dies." I'm Katie Weaver.
A city in the southwest of China has become a popular place for people who are looking for a freer way of life. They have left big cities and have moved to Dali in Yunnan province to find more space, lower prices, and a place to openly discuss and exchange ideas. For example, a group of young adults recently talked about politics, media, and conflicts around the world in one shared workspace in Dali. In a nearby cafe, young adults discussed issues from art to sexual harassment to the apathy in China's youth.
Reuters news agency recently spoke with 13 Chinese migrants to Dali. They described a place on the edge of mainstream society in China. However, many of them would not give their names. Dali's easygoing lifestyle is shown in a popular Chinese television show this year called Meet Yourself. It is about digital nomads who travel to Dali for a better life. Digital nomads are people who travel freely while carrying out remote work using the internet.
Dali's old town area has attracted cultural workers since the late 1990s, says Ling Minhua. She is an expert on Chinese migration at the Geneva Graduate Institute. Ling said that the normalization of remote work and Dali's less restrictive policies during China's zero COVID campaign also increased the popularity of the city of about 650,000. When younger generations are materially sufficient but spiritually lost, of course they will seek personal growth and freedom, said Bai Yunxi. Bai is 33 years old. She is now an online astrologer, someone who tries to predict people's futures based on the position of stars and planets.
Bai moved to Dali in September after quitting her government job to give online astrology readings. She shares a three-story house with her partner, a friend, and three cats. She said, "My living situation provides enough space to develop my career and personal life without interference from others." She also said Dali's nickname, Ideal Kingdom, represents part of its appeal. The Chinese characters that make up the word Dali can mean Ideal Kingdom and relate to its partial self-rule more than 1,000 years ago.
37-year-old Chen Zhengyun founded an employment staffing company. He said living in Dali freed him from the social pressure to get married early. He said that the government is calling for marriage and family to deal with China's population crisis. "There are some personal topics that you can't bring up elsewhere that you can talk about here," said Chen. As China's economy slows and youth unemployment rises, Dali has become a place for those seeking to escape the pressure and high costs of city living. They also come for the good climate, natural beauty, and a history of tolerance.
But six of the 13 people Reuters spoke with said they were concerned about police watching their activities. They said some big events have been canceled and there have been police raids. Dali City's propaganda bureau did not respond to a request for comment on the crackdowns and Dali's efforts to attract young, skilled workers. Youth unemployment reached record levels this summer. At the same time, the rural population is dropping because of low fertility rates and urban migration. So, the central government in Beijing has tried to urge young people to move to rural areas for what it calls rural revitalization.
Chinese President Xi Jinping has urged graduates to return to their hometowns and actively seek hardships. That is similar to ideas from the Cultural Revolution in the 1960s and 70s. But this message does not seem to be connecting with urban youths. They grew up with expectations of wealth, but now find success hard to reach. The local government in Dali has sought to attract young technology workers. Two community organizers told Reuters that in September, the local government asked digital nomads for advice about policies. However, a large conference for digital nomads with art and technology-related talks was suddenly canceled on November 2nd, a week before its planned start. The organizer, a shared workspace called NCC, said on social media that several issues caused the cancellation. NCC refused to say more publicly. Three people with knowledge about event organizers in Dali said another conference on decentralized internet technologies planned last year was canceled. The cancellation took place after the government suddenly withdrew support. Many digital nomads who use shared workspaces are involved with technologies like blockchain, organizers said. Local officials ask questions about the technology linked to digital money or currency.
China banned cryptocurrency mining and trading in 2021. It was part of a crackdown on the technology industry. Two other shared workspaces were shut down unexpectedly for months. Local police visited one earlier this year, three people with knowledge of the matter told Reuters.
Such problems do not surprise Ling Minhua, the migration expert. Unlike university students, digital nomads are not subject to structured discipline. So, she said, they are harder to manage. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
While Christmas music played, 100 South Korean men and women gathered at a hotel near the capital of Seoul with their names written for others to see. They were hoping to find love. The government hopes they will make babies. The young men and women were at a blind dating event held by the city of Seongnam. Blind dating is when two people who do not know each other meet in hopes of forming a relationship. The local government is attempting to fight the falling birth rate in a country where the popularity of marriage and parenthood has fallen. Those who joined were in their 20s and 30s. They sat quietly next to one another until a relationship expert started the event with a game called Rock, Paper, Scissors. People soon began to talk and laugh. The city appeared set on making a match. It prepared food and drinks like red wine and chocolate. There were also games, free beauty services, and even services to look into people's backgrounds for the singles that joined. Li Yumi is 36 and works for the city government. She said she registered to join three times before she was finally accepted to join the event. "I had no idea it would be this competitive," she said. After five such gatherings this year, 198 people among 460 left the event as couples, agreeing to exchange contact information, the city said. The South Korean capital, Seoul, had considered a similar event, but put the plan on hold after facing criticism. Some said the event was a waste of taxpayers' money, and it failed to deal with the reasons people were choosing to not marry and have babies. Those reasons include the high costs of housing and education. Wang Dapin took part in a September event. He said it saved him the cost of joining other social events or signing up for professional matchmaking services. "We are facing a real demographic crisis, and the government needs to do whatever it can. I don't understand people complaining over this," Huang said. The average number of children born to each South Korean woman, called the fertility rate, fell to 0.78 last year. The country has the lowest fertility rate in the world. The number is far below 1.66 in the United States and 1.3 in Japan in 2021. The average rate among countries in the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, a group of 37 democracies with market economies, was 1.58 that same year. Jun Jae-hoon teaches social welfare at Seoul Women's University. He said it was nonsense to expect these events to lead to higher birth rates. You need to spend more money directly on supporting pregnancy, child delivery, and parenting to call it a policy to increase birth rates, Jun said. But even with criticism, thousands of people have signed up for this year's blind dating events held by the Seyunyam city. Seyunyam Mayor Shin Sang-jin said spreading good views on marriage would at some point help raise the birth rates. He said that the blind dating events are just one of many policies his city has created to deal with the falling rates. Low birth rates cannot be resolved with a single policy, Shin said. It's also the city's job to create the environment for people who want to marry find their partners. I'm Gregory Stockel.
We are now in between two major American holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas. This is the most important time of the year for giving gifts. So, in the holiday spirit, we will explore some common questions that connect to gift giving. Please note that what we explore in this lesson is not connected only to American holidays. It can be used more generally to describe any kind of gift-giving event. Imagine you want to get a gift for a family member. You need some advice from another family member or friend. How would you ask for such advice? That question leads us to the first point in today's lesson. We are asking about what others want in terms of a gift. One way to ask this question is by using a what question. This is a kind of open-ended question. In other words, you are asking a question that requires more information than a simple answer of yes or no. You might use modals or helping verbs in your question. You might also want to report who is going to receive the gift and the occasion that the gift is for. Let's take an example to clarify these points. Imagine you are doing Christmas shopping for your brother. Let's say his name is Tom. Here is how you might ask another person, say your mother, about a gift for Tom. You could ask, what would Tom like for Christmas? Here we have the what question word along with the modal would and then the name Tom, followed by the verb like. Please note that we also generally use the structure for plus holiday, where the holiday is a noun or noun phrase. In this case, the holiday is Christmas. Another way you might ask the question is with the helping verb do. The basic structure is the same as our example containing would and like. But in this question, we replace those words with do and want. So you might ask, what does Tom want for Christmas? Please note that the two questions we have discussed so far have almost the same meaning. What would Tom like for Christmas? And what does Tom want for Christmas? Now let us consider questions about places to get gifts. In such questions, we generally use the question word where along with the modal can. We often use find as the main verb. And we often use nouns with similar meanings, such as sales, deals, or specials. Let's explore three examples, all of which have a similar meaning. Where can I find holiday sales? Where can I find holiday deals? Where can I find holiday specials? Note that the question word always comes first. The modal can comes between the question word and the subject, I. And then we have the main verb, find, along with the noun phrases such as holiday specials, holiday deals, and so on. Once you find the correct location, then discussions about price might come. We explored that subject in an earlier lesson, which you can find in the Everyday Grammar area of our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. Let's take some time to work with these ideas. Imagine you are considering what gift to get for your mother for her birthday. How might you ask another family member about what to get? Pause the audio to consider your answer. Here are two possible answers. What would Mom like for her birthday? Or, what does Mom want for her birthday? In our answers, we used the question word, what. Either the structure, would Mom like, or does Mom want, will work. What is important is that after the short word, for, we have the noun phrase, her birthday. This noun phrase provides information that makes the question clearer. Future lessons will explore gift-giving in greater detail. I'm John Russell.
You just heard this week's Everyday Grammar. Now, John Russell joins us to talk a little bit more about the lesson. Welcome, John.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for having me on the show.
Your lesson today focused on questions as they relate to gifts. Why did you choose that subject?
There are two reasons. First, most people can relate to gift giving and asking questions about gifts. Many cultures have special gift giving occasions.
And what was the second reason?
The second reason is that English questions can be tricky. They involve question words, helping verbs, main verbs, subjects, and so on. It is important to spend time carefully studying questions because this makes our language so much stronger. When you master questions, you can hold a nice discussion on many topics.
So how would you answer this question? What would you like for Christmas?
Well, I don't need any traditional gifts, but I can think of one thing I would like, a nice dinner. It could be either a homemade meal or a meal from a restaurant. What would you like for Christmas, Dan?
Well, I actually don't celebrate Christmas. I celebrate Hanukkah.
Then what would you like for Hanukkah?
Well, John, I wouldn't mind a new pair of shoes, but this year I think I will be gifting them to myself. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me. See you next time.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.